Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 church, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear from God through His Word and His Spirit.
We didn't start the fire. Daniel chapter 3, and it is a great story, and it's a story I felt like I grew up with every week at Sunday school. I'm sure I never, but it felt and feels that way. And the title of this week, Daniel chapter 3, is We Didn't Start the Fire. But actually, when I read this story, and as we've just listened to this story, actually, in fact, these three guys did start the fire. Because of their actions, and because of what they chose to do or chose not to do, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered the furnace to start up. And so if they had bowed the knee, if they did the same as everybody else, there would be no fire, there would be no furnace. And very often, that's what it's like in our lives. You know, the Bible says clearly that the way to destruction is very wide. The path is very wide. But the way to life is very narrow. And so we see that there was two paths here very clearly. When King Nebuchadnezzar was asking people to bow down, it was easy to bow down. It was an easy out to just bow down and get on with life. But yet for these three guys, they did not want to, because they knew that they needed to serve their God, our God. And just for the interest of the young ones that are here tonight, some scholars say that these three guys were between the age of 11 to 13 years old. So yeah, it's a surprise. These were very, very young guys, if we're to believe the scholars. But if not, they were certainly very young people. And in verse 12, it says that they paid, Daniel chapter 3, and verse 12, it says, they paid no attention. And the moment we pay no attention to the things that want us to bow down to them, the fire starts. The furnace is fired up. And that's where our battle begins. And we're called to pay no attention to those things that just want to pull us away. Those things that want to pull us down. Those things that want to destroy us. We're called to pay no attention. And because they paid no attention, that's where the king ordered the fire, the furnace to be lit up 7 times hotter than it normally would do. So paying no attention is a fire starter. You know as well as me that if we decide to stand up for God, we decide to speak up for God, very often it creates an issue and a problem and a resistance in our life. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks to the church and goes through a little bit of their history. And says that your predecessors, those that have gone before you, they were in the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness and supposed to be serving me, they had the pillar of fire and the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. That they erred. They went their own way. They started making their own gods. They started making their own statues and everything else. They started living how they wanted to. They started having impure relationships. They started having improper relationships with people, and they started living a reckless life. And Paul gives a warning to the church. He says that this is not how you are to live. But we're now living in a different dispensation. I just want to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Should be on here for us. It says this: God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And he's saying that those guys back in Old Testament days, their God was from without. And he says, now I wasn't happy with the way that they were, but there is a God that's within us.
and that this God is going to be with you, and that you are not going to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That is the promise to you and I. So when we go through our furnaces, when we go through our fires, when we go through the difficulties, that we're promised that it will not be too hot for us, but we will be able to stand the heat. And we need to remember that, so that when the heat is turned up on our life, and when it becomes uncomfortable, when it becomes uncomfortable to be a Christian, when it becomes uncomfortable to stand for our faith, we need to know that the heat will not overcome us, but that there will be a way out, there'll be a strength that is there for us. And that we need to understand, and especially, I want to speak to the young guys this morning, because it's great to have you here, is to encourage you that we're living in a world, and a world that wants to force you through a mold that is not you. We're living in a world that wants you to be something that you're not supposed to be. And it wants you to say yes to many, many things, which is, we're not talking about being a sinner. We're talking about taking you away from God's purpose for your life, God's shape for your life, what God has purposed for your life. And that God wants you to know tonight that there is a strength for you, and there is a shape that He has for you. And that we don't need to say yes. We pay no attention to those things, because we know that we serve a God that has a better plan. We serve a God that has a better plan than what this world is trying to push and make us into. And we'll realize, and I don't need to name them, but there are avenues that we cannot go down because we know that they're not helpful. There are relationships that we cannot have because they are destructive. There are situations we cannot put ourselves in because we know that they are not helpful to us in where we're going. It's not the fact that God doesn't want you to be a nasty sinner. It's not the fact that God wants to try and keep you pure. It's the fact that God wants His plan for your life to unfold, that you live the best life that God has for us. And that goes for you oldies too. Yeah, and me. You're past it, you. You know, even the Apostle Paul, he had to stand for his faith. The Apostle Paul declared his faith. He declared the gospel. And for that, he ended up in prison many, many times. And yet, he journeyed well. He traveled well through his furnace, through his fire. And we find that because he journeyed well, we now enjoy most of the New Testament, because that's where he written most of the letters to the church. But he started his own fire. He decided to stand up for his faith and got thrown into prison for it. And so we're promised that we will not be tempted far beyond what we can endure. You know, what's interesting, and I don't know whether you picked it up on the video there, that the men that threw Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego into the fire, those three men died. They were burnt to death trying to throw the three lads into prison. And that for me is a beautiful picture, is what was meant to harm those three lads didn't, but the very ones that were throwing them in and died and were burnt to death. And so we're promised that God has a great life for us. In fact, in John 10, it says that the enemy has a plan and he has a strategy, and that is to kill, to steal, and to destroy your life and my life, and take everything he possibly can from it. But he says, but Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. So this fire that was meant to kill these three guys didn't, because there was a life promise for them. But yet the strategy, the plan to kill them, killed the three guys that were throwing them in the fire. And God's plan is to give us life. And God promises to help us. And He has put a divine power in our life, so that when we pass through our fires, that we can come out the other side unscathed, unharmed, like these three guys. And God has made provision for us. Let's read in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says this: to those who received a faith as precious as ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness. Listen to that. His divine power has given everything to us for life and for godliness. So I say to us tonight that there is nothing, absolute nothing, that can come our way that can overcome us, because He has given us everything needed, a divine power that we can overcome through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Thus He has given us through these things His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of lust, and may become participants of the divine nature. We can participate in this divine nature that protects us. And that the cross, in its full operation, will help us and keep us, and there is a divine power in that. In fact, Paul says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead now quickens and lives in this mortal body. That same resurrection power. When they nailed Jesus to the cross with those blunt, rusty spikes, as they pierced His hands, as they plunged those spikes through, and He shrieked and cried in agony, and as they shoved those stakes through His feet, and He screamed and writhed in agony, those same wounds, those same parts of His body that once brought so much pain and agony, He was able to, after the resurrection, be able to say to Thomas, put your finger through those holes. And that the wounds became scars. What was painful prior to the cross became painless after the cross. And I want to say that there is a divine power that worked in the grave, through the grave, in resurrection, and that same resurrection life works in us. So that when we go through our fires, that we are able to travel and journey through our fires and come out totally unscathed. That is the good news for you and I tonight. And there are three things, when we become participants of the divine nature, there are three things, I believe, that are given to us in that divine nature. Number one is grace to accept and work through what God is doing. We're given grace. So when we go through our fires, we're given grace. Grace to work through what is going on. You know, when I read and think about that, I think about the Apostle Paul, who three times said to God, will you remove this problem from my life? Will you remove this thorn in the flesh from my life? It's a pain, it's a nuisance, it's a disruption to me, and I could do with it gone. I'm sure many of us have prayers like that. And after three times of pleading with God, God replied to him, and He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough to help you journey through this in your life. And I'm not going to remove it from your life. You're going to live with it. And as you know as well as me, some things we're delivered from, like these three guys, sometimes we're delivered in them. And Paul was, this wasn't removed from Paul's life, but he was given a measure of grace to live well with it. Secondly, we're given understanding. We're given understanding that brings reason. We're given a divine understanding. Now, when I say an understanding, sometimes I don't fully understand what's going on. But in my heart of hearts, As I'm going through the fire, as I'm going through the furnace, whatever's going on in my life, there's a deep knowing inside of me that God has got a hold of this, that this is for a purpose, this is for a reason. God is about something. God is doing something here. I don't know what it is, don't know what it's going to look like, but I know that when I come out the other side of this furnace, it's going to be good. And so that there is a real understanding as I'm traveling through that season. And thirdly, we have wisdom to handle it well. We're given wisdom to handle it well. And Lucas has referred to it a few times tonight. You know, and I'm getting disappointed at the amount of Christians on social media that are beginning to voice their opinion about all kinds of things to do with COVID, about face masks and face coverings and what the government should and shouldn't be doing. And I don't think, and as Lucas rightfully said, I don't think it's helpful. You know, and I'm not talking about just being an ostrich and burying our head in the sands, but everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got an opinion about the government. Everyone's got an opinion about these things we've got round our face. And I've got an opinion, but you're not going to know about it. But I've got an opinion too. But it doesn't matter, and I'm certainly not going to put my pen within, because it doesn't help people. And that we need wisdom. And as we journey well, especially through this COVID-19 that we're going through, this pandemic, as we journey well through it, we'll become a real clear voice for people that are fearful, for people that don't know what tomorrow holds, people that are concerned about relatives, are concerned about their life. So as we deal well and we have wisdom in our fire, we handle it well. In Psalm 46 verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a helper who can always be found in times of trouble. And when we go through our times of trouble, we are promised that He is there to be our very present help. And as we read these three men that were in the furnace, who was there? There was a fourth man who was present in their time of trouble and was there to help them and to look after them in their moment, in their furnace. Yeah. And we see that Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound walking about in the fire. I love that. That Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely amazed at what he's seeing. He's not only seeing three men, but he's seeing four men. But he's not only seeing four men, but he's seeing four men unbound, chatting and having a bit of fun in the fire. And that is, for me, another powerful picture that they weren't just enduring this. They never had fire extinguishers around them just in case they caught on fire. They were having a ball in the middle of the furnace. And I'm not saying that we jump up and down and enjoy some of the more difficult times in life, but I believe that internally we're not affected by what's going on, but we're able to walk round in the middle of the furnace untouched by what's going on. And Nebuchadnezzar was looking into this furnace and just seeing four men just chatting, probably having a brew, having some pastries or whatever, and just thinking, you know, go on, throw some more logs on that fire, because it ain't affecting us. And they were having a ball in the middle of their fire. What was happening to them didn't affect them. And that is the real serious message of the cross tonight. That's really where the rubber hits the road. That's where our faith really should be working. That when we're in the middle of our furnaces, it doesn't harm us. Then the princes, governors, captains and counselors crowded around them and saw that the fire hadn't touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Their coats were unscorched, and they didn't even smell of smoke. Let me finish with four hallmarks of exiting our furnaces well. Four hallmarks. Number one, it says there was no harm to their bodies. There was no permanent damage. And we can go through some real tough, dark times. And I've been through some myself. But God's promise is that we can go through those times, we can go through those furnaces, and we can come out with no permanent damage. And that we don't come out with no-go areas in our life. And we can get damaged through relationships, we can get damaged through church, we can get damaged through many different areas of our life and hurt. And they can become no-go areas. I'm not going there again. I'm not going to church again. I'm not getting married again. I'm not having a boyfriend again. I'm not having a girlfriend again. I'm not working for them again. I'm not going down that road again because I was let down. I was sorely let down. And many people live with a sense of bitterness and a sense that that is a no-go area. I believe that for you and I, as believers tonight, that we can come out unscathed. And as Jesus was able to hold out his hand and say, touch where it used to hurt, it's okay. There's no pain there no more. Secondly, it says there was no singed hair. Now, that'd be easy for me. There was no singed hair. There was not even certain areas of their body that was touched. There was no visible area of their life that was touched. And a two for you and I tonight, that we can be free in every single area of our life where the grace and the divine power works. Number three, there was no scorch clothes. There was no evidence left on them. And so these guys came out and there was not even a scorch mark on them. And I believe that we can exit our fires with no scorch whatsoever. No sense of, ooh, that he's a bit prickly about that. Or he's a little bit nervous about that. Or she, I'm not going to talk about that issue with her or with him because there's a bit of damage there. I believe that for you and I, we can come out unscathed and no scorch. And lastly, no smell. It says that there was no smell of fire on these guys. There was no aroma of anger. There was no aroma of bitterness, of disappointment, or wanting revenge. These three guys came out of the furnace and they weren't looking to get their own back on Nebuchadnezzar. They never came out of the fire thinking, right, there'll be payback for this. No, they came out of the fire and they came out of it victorious. They came out of it totally unscathed and they were able to look at King Nebuchadnezzar with nothing hidden in their heart. I think that's amazing. That is the promise for you and I tonight. Now listen to this in verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own. Through their actions, they got Nebuchadnezzar rejoicing in their God. Absolutely amazing. And that is fundamental to you and I in being a great witness. And as Lucas said earlier, you know, we don't need to bash people around the head with the Bible. We don't need to say stupid things. We just need to be able to respond well and to live well and to be of good character and noble character, full of wisdom and understanding and grace. And people, they might not blurt out, oh, praise God, praise the God of Meshach, Shadrach, of Abednego, praise the God of Paul, praise the God of Lucas. No, but there'll be something that goes off on the inside of people that says that there is something different operating in their life. And I want to know what that is. And we see here Nebuchadnezzar's reaction was, I need to serve the living God. And that it says that they did not bow down and worship anybody except their own God. Let me say this, that living well and exiting well through our furnaces will affect the lives of others. As it affected the life of Nebuchadnezzar, and his life was changed because of how they came out the fire, so too that your life, as you exit those difficult times, that your life will shine and that you will be a help to people that you meet. You'll be a tower of strength to the people that you meet in your life and in your world. When you come out victorious, finding God to be your strength in those real difficult times, in those real difficult moments of life, that you'll be a tower of strength. And this is what these three guys became to Nebuchadnezzar. So when you exit your furnace well, you will affect the life of others, and you'll affect your own life too. You will affect your own life too. As you navigate through those furnaces, you will come out with a life after. You know, we read about Joseph, and he was thrown into a pit, then he was thrown into a prison, and then he was accused of rape, and then he was thrown back into prison, and then he got forgotten that he was in prison when somebody promised to remember him. But as he journeyed through each one of those stages, he journeyed well. And he lived well. And he didn't kick up a fuss. He didn't say, God, where are you now? God, you've let me down. No, he served God well in every one of those moments. And because he served well, and because he navigated well through those times, that it paved his future. He was forging his future as he lived well. And he not only forged his own future, but the future of his family. And as we know the end of the story, his family came and he fed them and he sustained them. And so because he journeyed well through his hard times and his hard moments, he affected his life and everybody else's life. And that is exactly the same for you and I. Now, I want to say this in closing, and I've added this to my message for us tonight, is that there are times when we don't navigate well. And you may be sat there tonight. As I can reflect, there are times that I've not navigated well. There are times that I have fallen. There are times that I've let things overtake me and overcome me. And I've allowed it to affect me, and I've got all bent out of shape. I want to say that there is always hope. And that there is always a future for you and I. And there is just this last picture that I want us to look at. And we were out for a walk a few months ago, Esther and I. And I saw this tree. And that this tree had blown over in the wind. The wind had bent it out of shape. But the amazing thing was, even though it was blown over, its roots remained in the ground. And it continued to grow in the shape that it was blown over in. And there is a great scripture there, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. You know, it's in the Old and New Testament. And God is saying that he will never snuff us out. No matter how we may fail, how we may just lose our way, that he will never snuff us out. He will never break us, but he will always look after us. And yes, sometimes we can lose our way badly at times. And it may change the shape of us sometimes, depending on what we allow into our life. But what I want to say tonight is, even if it bends you out of shape, you will always grow. And you'll always be fruitful. And there'll always be a future and a plan for our lives. So I do not want you to leave condemned tonight, because you may think, yes, that's a great message and I would love to live like that, but I haven't lived like that. Fine, neither have I on many of occasions, but it still doesn't deny the truth that there is a divine power that wants to help us live well. And if that's where you're at tonight, it's a new day today. Yesterday is forgotten. New blessings. Great is his faithfulness. Morning by morning, new blessings I see. And today is a new day. Draw a line in the sand. Whatever has knocked you sideways historically, whatever has maybe gone on and you think that's affected me big time, you can draw a line. You can draw a line. And I believe that there is a divine power that will work in your life when you have made a decision to be a partaker of that divine nature. And you watch it grow you, and you'll begin to fruit and to flourish. Lord, I thank you tonight, Lord, for our time together. And Lord, we thank you for these three young boys that were willing to stand. Lord, that were willing to go through the fire, that we're willing to go through the narrow road. Lord, and I pray tonight, Lord, that for us, Lord, that you have provided everything for life and for godliness. And I pray that you have given it to us, and I pray that we may be partakers of it. And Lord, I pray that for any of us tonight that haven't partook and have succumbed, Lord, I thank you tonight. There is always new starts. There is always a new day. Lord, now pray from tonight, Lord, that this will be a real truth. And Lord, that we would, as these three guys, change the life of Nebuchadnezzar and probably everybody that saw what had gone on. Lord, I pray too that as we navigate well, that we would be life changers. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by checking out our website, livechurchwarrington.com.